today on Real Radio.
All this week and a half, there has been amazing events in the Middle East and around the world that simply announced to us, pay attention. It doesn't mean the end of the world is next week. It means we ought to pay attention.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, continues now in his series called Who Told You? You know, oftentimes doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this lesson, we learned that the God of the Bible has prearranged a specific timeline of events, but that no one knows the day or the hour of His return. We also discovered why God wants us to know He's coming back. It's because He promised to return for His church, to meet us in the air, to forever be with Him. And He always keeps His promises. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the world has always heard of wars and rumors of wars, and of the increase of famine and earthquakes. But we as believers are to know the biblical truths about the end times so that we can actively increase in sharing our faith. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Amen. You may be seated this morning in our opening throw of this particular doctrinal study on this topic, Who Told You About the End Times. We saw last time asking the question, why would God tell us that He's coming back? And we saw three things regarding that. Why would God tell us in the Bible? 27% of the Bible is dedicated to God announcing that He's coming back. And there are aspects and issues and events and prophecies regarding that truth. We saw number one, because He has a day of separation in store. Christ is coming to separate the believer from the unbeliever. He said, like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats, or like a farmer separates wheat from tares, there's a day coming when God separates, and that He has a plan for. Secondly, we saw that He's coming back, and He's told us that He's coming back because He has promised to keep us. All along the way, God has promised to keep us in His promises. He's promised to return. God will keep His promise, and that should keep us. And then thirdly, we saw last time that because He has scheduled a meeting, and we saw that the meeting is in the atmosphere itself regarding the rapture. We saw that when a believer dies, in fact, this week, we've had dear saints of this church, friends in this body, some of them you saw their faces greeting you at the doors as they would come in. They're with Jesus this Sunday, and they went to see Him. But the Bible says there's going to be a day when there'll be those alive who will escape death. The rapture will take place, and we looked at that, and there's going to be a schedule that God keeps, known only to God, is that moment of time. And as we continue on with this special in this service, it is an amazing thing to realize. Listen carefully, church. I want to stress this to the point of adding nausea if I have to. The events regarding North Korea that are taking place, though the Bible says accurately, Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, His statement to that was specifically regarding the tribulation period. But we're hearing about wars and rumors of wars, right? What does this mean? It means that there are things that are forming that should warn us. If Jesus in the Bible speaks to us about events that are specifically recorded in the tribulation period to come, and we're starting to see opening indicators of such events, what does that mean to those who know their Bibles? It means that we are nearing our time here on earth. It means that the Lord could come at any moment for the church, because the rapture has no preconditions. There's no events that need to happen before the Lord takes His people out. So does that make sense? If we see the things possibly forming of the end times, and we're going to be out of here before the tribulation events take place, then how close are we if we're starting to possibly see those things align? Very, very close. Exactly right. We've got the events of North Korea, who now says they've got the hydrogen bomb. If that concerned you for good reason, the hydrogen bomb dwarfs what we dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima in World War II. Do you know that? Dwarfs it. If used, it will be the largest bomb ever used in the history of man. North Korea, an issue. Earthquakes. Mexico just had its largest earthquake in 100 years. Earthquakes. But listen, there's always been earthquakes. Jesus simply said that they're going to increase as we get into those last days. We're not in the tribulation period. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I want to say this loud and clear. There's a lot of insanity out there and hysteria that on September 23rd, the world's going to come to an end, or the judgment day, or the rapture will take place. Just like the rapture was supposed to take place on May 21st. When was that? 2014 or whatever it was? 12. Listen, don't listen to that stuff. It's absolutely wrong. All the things that are all over the internet with all the fancy chalkboards and all the computer programs about how the rapture's got to happen in the next few weeks, don't believe it. Why? Look, if you think I'm poo-pooing the rapture, I'm not. I'm saying, why doesn't it happen today? I hope it happens today. Don't think I'm pushing off the rapture. No, I hope it happens today. But when somebody says, oh, it's got to happen before such and such a date, those are false prophets. And I'm getting hate mail about that right now. I was on Jan Markell's program, 840 radio stations across America, and I made this statement. And boy, did that light things up. And I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind being in a fight as long as it's a good fight. And standing for truth is a good thing. People are going to be led astray on September 24th when everybody gets up and realizes the world didn't come to an end. A lot of people who don't know their Bibles, and it better not be any of you in this church, people are going to wake up and have no more trust in the Bible because they listen to fanatics online. Be careful. Watch out. The issues about hurricanes. Oh, this is America's second and the third, Jose, the third hurricane's coming. Hurricanes come and go. There are those saying this is the judgment of God upon America. It could be, but I'm not sure if it is or not. It's called weather, ladies and gentlemen. It happens all over the world. Do we as a church and as a nation need to repent and seek God? Yes. Have we offended God in abortion of babies and the redefinition of marriage and redefining gender? Have we offended God, the God of heaven? Yes. But you can't say that these are the judgments of God coming right now upon America. Unless God raises up his people to announce clearly in one voice, as he always has with the prophets, this is weather. And it can be capitalized, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will do that with the church as the church rises to make such great ministry attempts in the name of Jesus. But we need to be very, very careful. This week, Israel attacked Syria in a very, very strategic, massive attack. Not sure if you're aware of that or not. We did a Facebook Live on that as it happened a few hours afterwards. Israel attacked a Iranian, North Korean-built weapons manufacturing and research facility in Syria. Did you get the connection? Iran, North Korea, built a research center in Syria. Israel, by the way, I can tell you this. Because if you search hard enough, you'll find this out. I'm not violating anything here. Russia's really upset right now. Have you seen the news? They don't know how Israel got past their state-of-the-art S-400 anti-aircraft system. It's the best in the world. It's the best in the world. Did you know that? The Russian S-400 series of anti-aircraft response has been... Israel came, did the business, got back home and landed, and Russia was one. What? What? Because you know Russia's in the Middle East right now, big time. And I can tell you this. The Eton 550, and the Israeli F-35 did what they were built to do. Because there are other aircraft involved. But ladies and gentlemen, not only did Russia not see them coming, Russia didn't see them leaving. And they can't. With that technology of the Eton 550, it makes a CH-53 helicopter. Did anybody know what a CH-53 is? Raise your hand, please. Okay, good. I'm impressed. It can make an Osprey. It can make a Cessna 150 invisible by stealth technology. Israel employed it, and it did its job. All I'm saying is this. All this week and a half, there has been amazing events in the Middle East and around the world that simply announced to us, pay attention. It doesn't mean the end of the world is next week. It means we ought to pay attention. So we're looking at this now. Mark it down if you would. Pay close attention. What effect should these days have upon us, the days that you and I are in right now? If here in John's gospel that we read a moment ago that Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit, listen, will be commissioned to not only instruct us, notice what he said in John 16:13. He says, I want to tell you a lot more, but I need to send to you later the Spirit of truth who will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority. Jesus taught that he would come and speak whatever Christ has taught. The Holy Spirit, 21 centuries since Christ ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit is here. Listen, he said, how do you know the Holy Spirit's here? I'm going to prove it to you right now that the Holy Spirit is here. Wherever the Word of God is opened up and taught, did you know that? The Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit delights in the Word of God. And Jesus is saying that the Spirit of God in the last days will teach you. And how will he teach you? Out of the very eternal Word of God. That's why more than ever we need to know it. And we won't be led astray. Jesus said, I can't tell you everything right now. He tells that to the disciples because you're not going to be able to cope with it. But for us in these last days, we can be rest assured that we will not be deceived like the bozo we saw on the screen a moment ago. We will hear stuff like that and we'll know that's wrong. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit will bear witness with the Word of God that you've hidden in your heart. Absolutely awesome. The Spirit will teach us. And it's not a foreign question, by the way, to ask, perhaps, what's going on around us in what is known as eschatological terms. That's a big word. It's in prophetic terms. Church, we'll read it in a moment. Matthew chapter 24 and 25. If you're a note taker, I'm going to say something that you've got to be able to answer rightly if you're going to graduate from a seminary or a Bible college. So get ready. You'll know the answer in advance. But it might come as a shock to you. And this is sad. I need to make sure all of you are listening. These false prophets that are out there today are using scriptures from the Bible out of context. And you need to know that Matthew chapter 24 and 25, in what is called eschatological terms, is specifically dealing with chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew, of the last half of the tribulation period up to the second coming of Christ, Matthew 25. So mark this down in your little theological repertoire. This is very important. Don't be deceived. Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 deal with, number one, predominantly Israel. The church is not mentioned. It's from the midpoint of the tribulation period to the second coming of Christ. You're not going to graduate from Bible school unless you answer it that way. Everybody knows this. Even the little guy in Geico or whoever that is. Everybody knows this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, Jesus says, or as the scripture says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all of these things? Now notice this. Pause right there at the question mark. The disciples, Jesus had just got done telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. Put yourself in their sandals for a second. This doesn't fit your worldview. He's been raising the dead. He's been cleansing lepers. He just purged the temple. And then he announces that he's going to die? And the disciples, just like you and I would have, to counter that depressing news to them because they didn't understand, they showed him the buildings of the temple. This is the Jewish way of saying this. Jesus, you're freaking us out. Let's go look at the temple. We're Jews. That's the temple. That's where God lives. Nothing will ever disturb that temple. We are so sure and so firm and so okay. Jesus, take a cue from that temple. And he shocks them. He tells them the impossible. He says, that do you not know that assuredly I say to you, not one of these stones shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down? By the way, is that an archaeological fact? 100%. Verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the word is actually now as he sat opposite now to the Mount of Olives. So they're looking at the temple. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? Number 2 question. What will be the sign of your coming? And the 3rd question, the end of the world or the end of the age. Verse 4, Jesus answers and says to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Isn't that amazing? First thing he says to us, to them, don't be deceived. Don't be led astray by people who put out dates. Don't be led astray by people who are called pastors and reverends and evangelists and apostles in pulpits with microphones saying, Jesus isn't coming back. Watch out, church, watch out. Jesus says, don't be deceived. For many will come in my name. The word is authority. Many will come assuming my authority, and they're going to say that they're the Messiah. They're the Christ. And they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For ethnic will rise against ethnic. That's the word ethos. It's not politics, it's ethnic groups will rise against ethnic groups. Now the following is politics. Kingdom against kingdom, politic against politic. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8 says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. That's in the New King James. It's not as forceful in the New King James, unfortunately. For example, Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 in the Weymouth New Testament translation says, but all these miseries are but like the early pains of childbirth. That's very accurate to the Greek language and to the Aramaic. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 out of the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says, all these are but the beginning of birth pains. That's very accurate. Listen, have you ever given birth? Have you ever been with somebody giving birth? I remember Lisa and I, we went to church one night, laid down, we were minding our own business, went to church, went to sleep, and the next thing I knew, there was this rush of water against my leg. And, you know, what happened? Is this a tsunami? What's going on here? And Lisa's water broke while we were laying in bed. What does that mean? It means someone's coming. She got up and she did what women do before they go into the hospital to have a baby. She took a shower, put on her makeup, got all pretty at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what do we do? She's all calm. I'm all anxious. But you know what we were doing? We were preparing. That was a major sign. Someone's coming. We don't know who it is, but they're in there. We're going to meet them soon. Her. Soon. And we went to the hospital, and all along the way, you know, they put all the things in there and the probes and the devices. And this is too much information, but she told me she's in the delivery room and the technology is so advanced, even 35 years ago. She told me, will you shut up? Because the device, I could see the contraction coming before she could feel it. Because I'm watching the scope. And I told her, oh man, this one's... I'm not kidding. This one's coming. Start breathing. And so she took that one, and then this one went just goes like this. It looked like a Richter scale. Just, and she's like, oh, this is fine. And then I watched this, and I said, the next one's huge. It's huge. And she goes, will you shut up? Too much information. Too much. But I knew something was coming. And Jesus says, listen, these are the things regarding the last day's events of Matthew 24 and 25. Watch. There's going to be birth pains. Right now, church, we can't even prophetically, technically say that the birth pains that the earth is going through are exactly related to the fulfillment of Scripture. We'd love to say that. It sells books. It creates hits on your website. But what we are seeing right now, church, is the establishment of the stage for the grand play to commence. Things are being moved into position. Jesus said it beautifully. He said, when you see these things, what? Begin to come to pass. What does he say? Look up, for your redemption draws near. Don't be discouraged. Don't be bummed. Get ready. Get ready to not only go up, but get ready to go out and help those who are in need and those who need to hear the gospel. Be active now more than ever because of what Christ has done for you. Be an agent by which you go out and tell others what great things he has done. It's a remarkable time. What effect should these things in the world around us have upon our own lives? To get up, to be ready, to look up. So the first thing that we see regarding this is, how should we be responding? Well, listen, we should be discerning. We should be perceptive and aware. Can you write that down? We need to be discerning and perceptive and aware of what's going on.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you keep your light burning with anticipation of the Lord's return. Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And we would love for you to get your hands on a copy of the DVD set, Who Told You About the End Times? Who Told You About the End Times is Pastor Jack's series that expounds on the doctrine of salvation. And we'd like to get that into your hands for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and get your very own copy of Who Told You About the End Times by Pastor Jack Hibbs for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Are you strong in your faith, but you're not really sure how to approach a non-believer about it? Well, Pastor Jack has a great video that you can either watch yourself to learn more or send to a friend. It's a video called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Know God tab. Maybe you could send a friend or loved one there to watch it, or maybe you can just watch it yourself and learn a little bit more about presenting the Lord to another person. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper, and one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the Real Life Devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. How would you like to get more of Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs? Well, you can do that at YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Watch some messages you might have missed. There are weekly messages from Pastor Jack, Real Life programs, some special messages on events that are coming up. There's even an interesting intro to Christianity right there at YouTube. Go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available for you right there at YouTube. So don't forget, set your notifications up to know when Pastor Jack has put something new on YouTube. Over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content. So go to YouTube and visit with us. Just look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.